Today's shir is Masech Techul and Daf Kuf Chav Tes, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Chav Ches Samad Beis, four lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Tana Abonin, Achoytech Kezayis Basar Me'im Menachai. As we discussed in the previous shir, Eivim Menachai is only possible when you have Basar Gidim Vatzomis. And here we had an Eva Menachai, and you're cutting off from it a piece of meat. Actually, Rashi says that although the Gemara says the word Kezayis, it isn't really Kezayis that we should be discussing. We should be talking about a piece of meat the size of a Kebeya, because we're speaking here about Tumas Eichlin, and the shear for Tumas Eichlin is a Kebeya. And somebody cuts off a piece of meat from the Eva Menachai, if first he cut off the meat, so piece of meat from Eva Menachai is not really a food, because as we have been discussing, no one is allowed to eat that piece of meat. But here, the person, as we learned already in the Mishnah, determined that he wants to serve it, according to Rashi, to a guy, but as we've described, it doesn't necessarily have to be to a guy. So he's by having that machshava, by having that intent, it becomes an eichel. However, that intent only took place after you cut it. So when you cut it, it wasn't an eichel. So therefore, it remains tahar. However, chishev alav, first there was a decision that it should be eaten. So because there was a decision that this piece of basar should be eaten, it becomes an eichel, and then afterwards it was cut. Then it becomes tamei because it came into contact with this eivim menachai, and eivim menachai is metama food. Says the Gemara, Ravasi lo'ol lebei midrasha. Ravasi did not attend yeshiva one day. Ashkechei l'Rab Zeira, but he met Rab Zeira. And he asked Reb Zeira, "My Amabe Midrasha, what was taught in yeshiva today?" Amalei, so Reb Zeira said to him, "My Kashalach, what's bothering you that you're asking this question?" And the way Mefarshim explained the Gemara is that Reb Zeira understood that Rav Asi knew what mesechta, what sugya, the learning in yeshiva. So his question wasn't, what are they learning in yeshiva? Because he certainly was aware of what they were learning in yeshiva. Rav Zeira immediately understood that Rav Asi had a question in the sugya that they were learning. And therefore Rav Zeira asks Rav Asi, "My kashalach, what is troubling you in the sugya that we're learning that you ask me this question?" Amalei, so he responded, "Exactly what we just discussed. The Tani, we just learned. The chishev, if there was a decision that this piece of meat that's being cut off from the Eva Menachai should be used as an oichel, and then the achkach chotchoi, and then he cuts it off from the Eva Menachai, it's going to be tameh, because this oichel receives tumah from the Eva Menachai, and therefore we just learned chishev, if there was first a decision that it should be eaten, and then it's cut off from the Eva Menachai, it's tamei because it gets tamei from the Eva Menachai it was touching. Why? He asks. Tumas beis astarim hi. But tumas beis astarim loy matama. As we've learned many times, tumas beis astarim in this context means that in order for tumah to be able to transmit it, we have to have two distinct pieces. And we have the metame, the thing that gives off the tumah, touching the thing that becomes tame. Here we have one piece. So that's called tumas beis astarim. And tumas beis astarim is not metame. Why is tumas beis astarim not metame? We learned the sugya a few weeks ago. The pasuk says, v'chol ashiyiga b'ayazov, v'yodov l'shotaf b'mayim. So the Gemara taught us that the model for tumah is yodov. Yadav is something that's separate and noticeable. That's when it could become tamei, not when it's not independently noticeable. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask that why are we saying that this is considered a situation of tumas beis hastarim? Yes, as it's one piece, it's all just one big piece. But when it's cut, so during the cutting, they become separate pieces, and one piece is touching the other. So the Rishonim answer that we're referring here to a situation where it wasn't cut slowly. They took a big knife and they gave one big chop. So it went from a situation of tumas beis hastarim, which doesn't transmit tumah, to a situation of not touching at all. So why, even if you did have an intention prior to cutting, asks Rav Asi to Rav Zeira, is the halacha that now it becomes tumah from the Eivim and Achai, it's tumas beis hastarim. Amalei, so Rav Zeira says to Rav Asi, actually, afla the di kashli, I had the same question. V'sh'alti l'Rav Abba b'mamel, and I asked it to Rav Abba b'mamel, how do we understand this halacha, given we have this issue of tumas beis hastarim? V'amali, and he told me, ha'mani Rav Meihi, this brisa is following the opinion of Rav Meir, the Amma, tumas beis hastarim etama. That even though we paskin, that tumas beis hastarim does not convey tumah, Rav Meir says it does. Where did we see Rav Meir say that? Another Gemara that we learned. If you recall, we learned the Gemara that when you have a ben pekua, the fetus in its mother's stomach, but it extends a limb, so that limb is considered Eivim and Achai. And Rav Meir says that it has the ability to be metama the rest of the ben pekua. It's tumas beis hastarim. Rav Meir says tumas beis hastarim is not an issue to him. Amalei. V'lav zimnan sagia omer kamai, but now continues Rav Asi to ask, even according to the opinion of Rav Meir that says that tumas beis hastarim does have the ability to transmit tumah, v'amrili, and I was told, shani le Rav Meir distinguishes bein tumah debaya hechsher and bein tumah delabaya hechsher. When does Rav Meir say that tumas beis hastarim is not an issue? By a regular case of tumah. That means tumah sheretz, tumah seivim menachai, whatever. But what kind of tumah are we assigning to this piece of meat that's being cut off from the eivim menachai? We're assigning to it, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, a tumas oichlin. Now, tumas oichlin is in the category of tumah debaya hechsher. What does that mean? A halacha that we've learned many times. In order for an oichel to be makabel tumah, it has to become wet. And the way that we should explain this gemara is as follows. Since tumas oichlim, or another way that our gemara is calling it, tumah debay hechsher, is a very weak tumah. Why is it a very weak tumah? Because normally, if something touches a mace being an avi avos tumah, whatever comes in contact with a mace becomes an avatumah, odom v'kelim. Food, even if it comes in contact with a mace, doesn't become an avatum, it only becomes a rishon l'tumah. So since it's a lower level tumah, even Rav Meir says, Rav Asi, that normally holds that there is no problem and tumah can be conveyed even through tumas beis hastarim, will hold here that it's a problem. And here we're talking about tumas beis hastarim. Here we're talking about tumas oichlin. So why is tumas beis hastarim not a problem, even according to Rav Meir? Let's read the words. Shana le Rav Meir. Rav Meir distinguishes bein tumah debaya hechsher, tumas oichlin, ubein tumah delay baya hechsher. And here it's tameh because it's in kan. Here it's tumas oichlin. Amar Rava says Rava, umay kusha. What's your problem? Your problem is that unless the food had hechsher, there won't be, tumas beis hastarim can't be conveyed. And you're assuming, this is what Rishonim learned in Gemara, that this piece of meat that's being detached never had hechsher. Tumah b'shoh hechsher. It had hechsher, and now, therefore, it can become tumah from the piece of meat that it's touching, the Eivim and Achai. Amalei Rava Barafchana LaRava. So now he asks a different question. As I said a moment ago, and this is an important point to understand the rest of this Amid. We just said that Tumas Eichlin only is Tameh if it has Heksha first. And we gave the reason why. However, the halacha is that when is Heksha required, and we've learned this concept from Yishmael, when is Heksha required? When it's only going to achieve Tumas Eichlin. But when it's going to achieve a higher level Tumah, then Heksha is not required. There's actually a Machlokes Rishonim, I've quoted previously, how to understand this rule that Rabbi Shmuel teaches us. Most Rishonim explain, and this is the way we're going to learn, that even though, as we just said, Eichlin are not susceptible to Tumah unless they first get wet, that's only for Tumas Eichlin. If it's a food that could become a higher level tumah, then the requirement for heksha falls away. That's what we're going to learn in Gemara. Other Rishonim learn it's even more strict. They explain what the Gemara means to say that not only is the requirement for heksha not here, but since this food could become a higher level tumah, then the halacha is it automatically considers tumah as has a category of tumas eichlin. There's a third opinion I saw in the Rishonim, take a very interesting approach, that say the heksher is still required, but as soon as it becomes mukshur, as soon as it becomes wet, it's automatically tamei tamas eichlin. But we're going to learn the Gemara that the requirement for heksher is not there whenever you have a food that could come to a high level tumah. And therefore, he asked the following question. Amalei Rabba Bar Rav Chana LaRav, he asks, Lamalei heksher, why is heksher required here? This meat, what is it part of? It's part of Eva Menachai. And Eva Menachai is a high-level tumah. So if it's a high-level tumah, heksha should be not required. So why are you bothering? Do you have a problem? There was no heksha, tumah space of storm. Heksha shouldn't be required here. Answers the Gemara. Amar lei kishishimesh masa etchim. And the way we start to explain the Gemara is as follows. Where do we find, let's start this way, where do we find the example that you have a food that can become a high-level tumah, and because it can become a high-level tumah, heksher is not required? What is the example? The classical example is Nevelos Oif Tahar. That we know Nevelos Oif Tahar is a very high level tumah, that as soon as somebody has it in his Beis Habliyah, he becomes tumah, the clothing he wears becomes tumah. Therefore, even though it's a food, it's Nevelos Oif Tahar, and normally a food would require that it should get wet, Nevelos Oif Tahar doesn't need to have heksha. But when you think about a Nevelos Oif Tahar, what are you doing with that Nevelos Oif Tahar? You're eating it. So there, since it's serving a food, it's acting as a food, and it has a high-level tumah, the requirement for heksha falls away. Here, when it's part of an Eva Menachai, it's not a food. It's part of Eva Menachai. Eva Menachai is not a food. No one's allowed to eat Eva Menachai. So what is it? It's not a food. It's an eitz. It's a piece of wood. So therefore, this rule that heksha, the requirement for heksha is waived, is only when it serves as a food. Here it's not serving as a food, so therefore it's a whole different situation. And this concept will be repeated a number of times in our shir. Amr Abaya, Harei Amru. The Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, Kupasar Shiyachtal Yeshiva. Which means like this, you have a big piece of dough, an old piece of dough, that got real hard, and you decided to use it as a couch, as a chair. And we know that a chair could achieve a very high level tumah. Moshev Hazov. Anything that the Zov sits on becomes a Av HaTumah. And therefore, the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim that if you have a kupasar shiyachtal yeshiva, that you took this piece of dough and you made it into a chair, batla tumasa. It's not considered chametz anymore because you made it into a chair. But it is a moshev hazov. So let's think about it. We just now said that a piece of dough could always become a high level tumah. What is the high-level tumah can become? It can become a Moshev Hazov. And we're saying that when anything can become a high-level Tuma, there is no requirement for Hechsher. So why would there ever be a need for Hechsher and O, given that our Gemara just gave us an example, asks Abaya, that Do can become a very high-level Tuma, Moshev Hazov? Answers the Gemara, Tumasa Lav Deraisa. The fact that we're saying that it can become a high-level Tumma of Moshev Hazov, that must be it's not Midaraisa. Fourth says Abaya, this Akadach Deraisa, if we're going to hold that it can become a Moshev Hazov Midaraisa, Matsinu L'Oichlam Shem Tama Tumma Chamura. So now we have an example, the dough will become a Tumma Chamura, and therefore there should never be a requirement to be Machshir dough for it to become Tame. Ask Tysus. So at this point of the Gemara, before the Gemara gives the final teretz, we're assuming that it's only midrabanan that it becomes a Moshev Hazov. Midaraisa, it's not a Moshev Hazov. So if it's not a Moshev Hazov midaraisa, it's still chametz. It's still a piece of chametz. So how could you keep it in your house if midaraisa it's a piece of chametz? Why is there no problem? By your raw, by your matzah. And it's fascinating. If you look at Tysus on the side, Tysus doesn't give an answer to this question. So Rishonim and Achronim will say there's an obvious answer. We're referring to a situation where you were mevatlet. So as far as you're concerned, it's not chametz by you, but it's not yet Moshev Hazov because the Gemara is saying that it's not Moshev Hazov midaraisa. There are different variations of this. Another variation is that it's to the degree that it's not edible anymore. It's not royal achilas kalev. That's why it's not a problem by your raw, by your matzah. Another variation is that if you have a piece of dough that's so hard that you turn it into a chair, nobody's going to eat that dough. What's the concern always by chametz, by bayi raw, by matzah? That you may come to eat it. Here, you're not going to eat it. There's only one question. These terutzim are so obvious that since you were mevatlet, bayi raw, by matzah is no longer an issue. Tum is a different discussion. Why didn't Taisus say that, Teretz? Taisus, I said, remains with Akasha. Why didn't Taisus say this obvious teretz? So Mefarshim explained that Taisus, and this is relevant la loka, Taisus obviously is of the opinion that that chametz doesn't become bottle unless you mafker the chametz. Here obviously you weren't mafker it. Why? Because you're keeping it as a chair. And if you weren't mafker it, the bittel is not an effective bittel. But back to our Gemara. Why, by dough, do you ever require, ask the Gemara, is Hechsher ever required? It can become Moshev Hazov. Answers the Gemara, when it's Moshev Hazov, kishimish matza eshimish. When do we say that the requirement for Hechsher falls away? When you have a food, in its role as a food, it's Tamei. Here it's not Tamei as a food, it's Tamei as Moshev Hazov. Moshev Hazov is not a food. And therefore this rule doesn't apply. Similar question. Amar Abaya, Harei Amru. Chazal teaches, Takruvus avoids kechom shal oichlen. If you have a food that's used for avoid the zoro, metam boil. The halachi is Takruvus avoid the zoro is tamei boil. And this food gets that tumma. Suggest the Gemara, tumas lav deraisa. It must be that this rule is not a deraisa. Why? For says the Gemara, this akadat deraisa, if we're going to say it achieves a level of tumma midaraisa, so again, matzino lo'echlem shmetamim tumma chamura, we see that every food can become a high-level tumma, because every food could ultimately be used as the kruvas of a dezara. And if it could become a high-level tumma, there should never be a requirement for hechsher. Answers the Gemara, when it's being used as the kruvas of a dezara, it's not being used as a food. It's being used as an avodah zarah. When is the halacha that hechsher is not required apply? Or when is there a concept of tumah chamura? When it's a food. Here it's not playing a role as a food. Harei kishishimish ma'aseh et shimish. Another question. Amra Abaya. Harei amru mechibura oichlam kekelim damu. Which means as follows. Again, in our world this is not so common. But in their world, if you had a bowl or a plate that had a crack in it, they didn't just throw it out, they repaired it. How would they repair it? They would put a piece of dough into the crack to close up, to patch up the crack. Now that food that's used as that patch has a din of a keli. And a keli does become an avet tumah when it comes in contact with a sheretz. So again, the Gemara's question is, you're saying that food can never come to a high level tumah. I gave you an example that it can't come to a high level tumah when it's used as a patch in a broken keli. So Rabbi Yashiv, I saw in his sefer, asks that isn't this the exact same question as the food that was used as a bench? Why is the Gemara asking the same question twice? So he says there's a specific reason why the Gemara asked the same question. That case that we said where the chair was used as a bed, where the dough was used as a chair, is talking about a very unique type of tumah, Moshev Hazov. So perhaps by Moshev Hazov, which is a very unique situation, there are different rules. But here we're talking about a much more common tumah, of a tumah of a keli. Maybe here it's a raya that it could come to tumah chamura, the fact that it could be used in a keli and have the din of a keli. Again, reading the words of Gemara. Harei amru, chibura oichlin kekelim dami. If you put food as a patch, it gets the din of a keli. It must be, suggests the baya, that tumasun lav deraisa. Dis al kedatach deraisa, metsinu loichl shematam tum chamura. We see that oichl could have a high level tumah. Answers the Gemara, the same teretz. That tumah, it's not tumah as a food, it's tumah not playing a role of a food. When we say that there has to have a tumah chamura, we meant as a food. Kishimish maitza eishimish. Another question. Amar Papa Rova. Hada Tanya. Actually, Hada Tanan. The Mishnah, we spoke about this Mishnah in our previous year. A Mishnah Masechta Oxen. Chaylev Nevela B'Kfarim. Tzorech Machshava V'Hechsha. We explained in our previous year that in the villages, Rashi says, they typically did not eat chaylev. And Rashi gave two explanations. One explanation is because there weren't that many people in the village, so when they divided up an animal, you could eat meat. You don't have to eat fat. That was one pshat Rashi suggested. Another pshat Rashi suggested is that chaylev was considered a delicacy that only people who lived in the big city, the fancier people, got to eat it, not the people who lived in the villages. So if you're in a village and you want to have chaylev that's around the kulya, tzarech machshava, you have to intend to use it as a food for hechsher. Now, we learned at the beginning of our parak that the shomer of nevela, the shomer of any tumah, but the shomer of nevela has the din of that nevela. So if you have chaylev around the kulya, around the kidney, we said that the kidney is actually completely encased in chaylev, so it's going to be tamei out nevela. Tumasa agav kulya lav deraisa. So what type of tumah is that? That's a nevela. It's a high level tumah. So it should require hechsher. Yet here, the Mishnah, this way Rashi explains, the Mashal explains Rashi explaining, the Mishnah clearly says that hechsher is required. But we're saying that wherever a tumah chamura is passed, wherever it's a tumah chamura, there's no hechsher. So why is hechsher required here? Answers the Gemara. So it must be lav deraisa, that the entire din of shomer, says the Gemara, is not a din deraisa. Dis al kedatach deraisa, metzina loichlish tumah chamura, and therefore hechsher shouldn't be required. Answers the Gemara. Here it's serving as the layer around the kulya. So it's not serving as a food, it's serving as a shomer. When we say that the requirement for hechsher falls away, is only when it has a tumah chamura as a food. Here it's not a tumah chamura as a food. Kishimish matza eishimish. One more example. Amra Masna. Harei Amru. Bayis shesachu bizroim. If you have seeds that are tamei and you use them to cover your house, tara, it must be that that seed was not tamei midaraisa. This akadatach deraisa metzina lizroim shemetam tumah chamura. Why? Because the halacha is, we spoke about this yesterday, if you have a house that has a neged saras, the entire house becomes tamei. So now, why are we saying that the seeds don't come to a high-level tumah? It comes to a high-level tumah, it could come to saras. And it's the Gemara, the same teretz. Kishishimish metzei shimish. When you're using your seeds for your roof, it's not serving as a food. And this halacha is only when it's playing a role as a food. So I saw Gvaldig Akasha. We all know that the first halacha that we need to know when we speak about tzchach on a sukkah is that it's something that's not mekabel tumah. A material that's mekabel tumah cannot be used as tzchach. And now this brice that we just learned taught us that anything that's used to make the roof of your house, if your house becomes, has a neged tzras, becomes tumah. So why, how can we use any material for tzchach? It could come to tumah. It could become tumah tzras. And therefore it's mekabel tumah. And if it's mekabel tumah, it becomes disqualified. Gevaldige kasha. So the Mepharshim can respond that when we say that a material that's mekabel tumah can't be used for tzchach, it's only a tumah that's a man-made tumah. Zrom, tzras, is not a man-made tumah. It's a tumah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that has tzras. That the halacha that something, that a material that can become tumah is disqualified for tzchach, is only if it can become tumah from a man-made tumah, not from a tumah that we don't control. So we learned in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Matar. And the Gemara is trying to understand what does Rav Shimon mean. Because Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, again, the Mishnah is enough, Kuf Chav Zayin, I'm an hour from the base. The Mishnah is referring to a situation where you had this dangling Aver and this dangling Basar, the Rav Shimon Matar. And the question is, why? Manavshach. If we're going to say, we had this concept earlier in the Masechta, that something that's dangling, if it's dangling from a living thing, when it dies, the halachas looks at it as if it got detached a moment before the animal died. And the way that we try to explain the concept of Misa Isunipal is that since this entire connection is a weak connection, it's a tenuous connection, so as soon as the animal died, we say that it already got disconnected a moment before death. So this dangling Aver that fell off before death is Aver Menachai. If, on the other hand, Amy saw Sunipo, and we say it only is considered, that was considered connected when the animal died still, so then, so why is this Aver not Tomei? It's an Aver Menachai, and Aver Menachai is also Tomei. So why does Rav Shimon say Tahar? Answers the Gemara. When Rav Shimon said at the end of the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Matar, he's not referring to this situation. He's going to the first case of the Mishnah. And the Gemara explained itself. Rav Shimon Areshikai. It said at the beginning of the Mishnah, Hey, Vabasa Muladolim Behema, if you have Eva Basa dangling from Behema, Betama Thomas Euchlin, B'mekaimam, the subject to Thomas Euchlin, V'tzrichin Hechsher, and they require Hechsher. And on that case, says Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon holds that they're matar, that they're not subject to Tumas Eichlan. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yoichanan. Why? My Talmud Rav Shimon, I'm a Kra, because the Pasuk says, regarding Tumas Eichlan, Mikola Eichel Asher Yeichel, Eichel Shata Yochel Achila Acherim, food that you could serve others, Kaira Eichel, is considered food. But this is an Eva Menachai. And Eva Menachai, or Basa Menachai, even Goy may not eat. Is not called Eichel, and is not subject therefore to Tumas Eichel. Two important points. One is, the Mepharshim say, this has nothing to do with being Muta Bahano or Osa Bahano. This Eva Menachai, or Basa Menachai, that's dangling, even though it's Muta Bahano, nobody's allowed to eat it, not a Jew and not a Goy. And therefore, Rav Asi is saying, Rav Yochanan is saying, Rav Shimon holds it's not subject to Tumas Eichlan. But then I saw that the Shalom Meshev asks a very powerful question. We're saying that since, at this point of the Gemara, that since there's never a circumstance that this food may be eaten, that's why it's not subject to Tumas Eichlan. Ask the Shalom Meshev why. He comes up with a scenario where Midaraisi will be able to eat that food. What is the scenario? He says, this is the scenario. You have a situation. Midaraisa, everything is batel b'roif. Furthermore, he says, Midaraisa, you're allowed to be mevatel issa l'chatchila. So you have this piece of Eva Menachai, you'll throw it into Roiv kosher meat, and it'll be mutter to be eaten. So what's the Gemara saying? That the reason Rav Shimon holds, at least the Gemara is saying it at this moment, it's not subject to Tumah. It's Oichlin. Because it's not edible by anyone. I just painted a picture where it is edible. So Shaul Meshev says a very big aside. He says, if it becomes bottle, and even though not only does it become bottle, because with the rice you are allowed to be mevatlet berayv, that doesn't mean that you're eating Eva Menachai. He says, what does Bittel say? What Bittel says is that when it's bottle, it's not Eva Menachai anymore. So we're trying to find a situation, or the Shaul Meshev was trying to find a situation where you're allowed to eat Eva Menachai. You're not allowed to eat Eva Menachai. It's a situation where it's bottle, it's not Eva Menachai anymore. So that's what Reb Zeira said. That's what Reb Shimon said. And Reb Yochanan explains it. Amale Reb Zeira Reb Asi. Dimotam Reb Shimon Hossam. Who says that that's the reason for Reb Shimon? That the reason is because no one's allowed to eat it. There's a different reason for it. Hoil Uma'ura Ma'ura. Since it's still connected to the animal, it's considered like the animal. And that's why it's not subject to Tumas Eichlin. Because the animal is alive. And anything that's alive, we've been learning, is not an Eichel and not subject to Tumas Eichlin. Where do we see this concept? Again, a Gemara that we learned yesterday, the Tanan. The Gemara quoted a Mishnah Masecht Oiktsin that said, Yichush al Ta'enesh Nefshech, you have a branch of a fig tree that's shriveled up, Ura Beklipa, and it's still connected to the tree, Rabbi Yehuda Matar. Even though its connection to the tree is very weak, he says it's still considered connected to the tree, and the tree is connected to the ground, it's still considered mechubar, and that's subject to tumah. Chanan disagree. They say, im yachal lichyais, if it's so connected that it could be tied and regenerate its tar. Vem lav, tameh. Vem rinalach, and we explained, my time of Yehuda, what is the reason for Yehuda? It's so shriveled up, because ha'il ma'ura ma'ura. So we see anything that's connected is still considered connected. So who says the Gemara, that the reason for Rav Shimon and the Reisha saying that the dangling meat or the dangling aver from a live animal is not subject to Tumas Eichlin is because no one is allowed to eat it, the reason is a different reason. It's connected to a living thing, and since a living thing isn't subject to Tumas Eichlin, it too is not subject to Tumas Eichlin. So that's the Pshat and the Reisha, and nothing to do with what Rabbi Yochanan said. The Mefarshim try to understand where indeed does Rabbi Yehuda take his psak from. Rabbi Yehuda is saying a very big chiddush here. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that as long as there's any connection, as tenuous as it is, it's still considered connected. The Mefarshim say it's based on another Gemara we learned yesterday. If you recall, in our previous show, we spoke about the flower pot that has some leaves hanging over the ground. So obviously, the leaves get very little nourishment from the ground. The main nourishment is from the flower pot. The leaves are high above the ground, and yet those leaves we learned in yesterday's shir are considered a chubah karka. So we see any connection to karka, as weak as it is considered a connection. Amalei. So again, where did Rabbi Yochanan say his explanation? It says the Gemara goes regarding the Emtzi Asa. We learned yesterday in the we spoke about this extensively in our previous shir, Nishchata Behema. That if they have this dangling animal, and the behemoth was slaughtered, hukshir b'damah. So the aver becomes mukshir through dam shchita, divrei meyim. Rav Shimon Omer loy hukshir. It's not mukshir. Amar Rav Yochanan. So now the Gemara suggests, my Talmud Rav Shimon, why doesn't it become mukshir? Amar Kra, because of the Hasid that we just said, b'kol oichel shi oichel, oichel shat yochel achil lacherim kari oichel, oichel shi einat yochel lacherim en kari oichel. And that's why, since this meat that was dangling is Eva Menachai, therefore, it can't be eaten, and therefore it's not subject to Tumas Eichlin. Says the Gemara, V'dilma, who says that's the reason for Rav Shimon. We learned yesterday, if you remember, no less than 6 explanations that had nothing to do with this explanation in the Machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Shimon. So why, asked the Gemara, are we signing Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, if you want to make the question even better? Rabbi Yochanan gave a different explanation yesterday. This has nothing to do with that case. The Dilma, Tam Rav Shimon Behi, Rav Shimon's reasoning in that case is Ikad Ravi, Ikad Rabbi Yochanan, one of the six different explanations that we brought yesterday. So the Gemara goes back, a Sefer. I, in the Sefer, we said that of Shimon Metaher, what was the case of the Sefer? That you have this dangling Aver and you have this dangling Basar, and the animal died, and of Shimon Metaher. So the Gemara asked, according to Rav Shimon, why is that Aver not Tamei, Man of Shach, if it's considered that it fell off before death, it's Aver Menachai. And if it's considered it fell off during the death, it's Nevela. So why does Rav Shimon say it's Tar? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon wasn't speaking about the Aver. Rav Shimon speaking about Basra, a piece of meat. And now let's analyze it. Mesa, Behema, if the animal died and it had a piece of meat dangling, Medobo, Habasa Tzar, Hechsher, Rav Shimon Matar. Om Rav Yochanan. To this Rav Yochanan explains, my tam Rav Shimon that it's Tar. Om Akram, Mekala Oichel Shi Yoichel. Oichel, Shat Yoichel Lachil Acherim Kori Oichel. Oichel Shat Yoichel Lachil Acherim En Kori Oichel. And this food cannot be eaten by anybody. Why can't it be eaten by anybody? Because it's considered basa menachai. It's considered as if it fell off before the animal died. Why? Going back to what I said a couple of moments ago, misa oisa nipal. And basa menachai is osur both to Jews and to bnei noyach. And Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that any food that can't be eaten by anybody is not subject to tumas eichlan. The last mission of the parak. And the Meiri says that this Mishnah certainly really doesn't belong in Masech Techulin. Because here we're not even talking about animals, here we're talking about people. But since we're speaking about dangling meat and dangling Eva, we're speaking about the same by people. Says the Mishnah, Ha'eva v'abasa ha'muludolim ba'odom, if they're dangling from a person, tahir, they're still tahir. Os meis odom, if the person passes away, ha'basar tahir, meat that's dangling from the person is tar. Ha'aver metame, but the aver is considered tamei mishum aver menachai, as if it fell off from the person before he died. Again, why? Because misa oisa nipal, and the halacha considers it, says Rameyer, as if it fell off before he died, and therefore it's aver menachai. Ha'aver metame mishum aver menachai. Because we consider it halachically as if it fell off before he died, not after he died. Divra Meya, Rav Shimon Matar. Shimon says it's Tar. So Gemara right away jumps in. Rav Shimon, Manashach, let's think about it. If we're going to say that it's the Misa, that it, the halach looks at it as if it fell off before the person died, so this should be like Rav Beis said, it's Eva Menachai. If on the other hand, says Rav Shimon, we hold a Misa Oysa Nippel, so it fell off after he died, and it should be considered Eva Menames, Lippim Hashem Eva Menames, says the Gemara Rav Shimon Ba'almakai. Rav Shimon is not speaking about this circumstance. He's speaking about the following. The Kama Tanakama. The Tanakama is obviously of the opinion. Hamet Eva Matama. That an Eva that falls off from a person, metam mishum eva menachai, vein metam mishum eva menameis, alma, it's obvious that he is of the opinion, the eva hameis be'alma metama, that you have an eva without meat on it, has the ability to be metama, v'amalei Rav Shimon, to which Rav Shimon says, eva hameis be'alma lo metama. I hold that an eva of a mace that fell off without meat on it is not considered an ability to be matama. The Tanya, and we have a Braisa that in fact has such a dialogue. On Rabbi Elazar, in the Braisa we have Rabbi Elazar saying, Shemati she'eva menachai matama. I heard that the eva that falls off of menachai is matama. On Rabbi Shua, so Rabbi Shua says, you seem to be saying that if you have eva menachai, and again, why are we saying that it's an eva without basar, that fell off from a living person, it's matama. And you seem to be saying v'loy min ames, but not if it fell off from a dead person. And says Rabbi Shua to Rabbi Elazar, such a position is a very difficult position to understand. Because I can make the following kal v'chomer. Umachai, we're talking about a living person. A living person is tar. You're telling me that eva parish v'menu, that an eva that falls off from a living person is eva parish v'menu tamei, mace, which is a person who's dead, is tamei, shu tamei like koshkein. So how can you say that Eva Menachai is tamei and Eva Menemeis is not? And he proves his point from the following halacha. He says, Kosvim Megillas Tainus. We know that Megillas Tainus was a book that had all the days that you're not allowed to fast, that you're not allowed to say a hesped. Pischa Zeira on Pesach Sheni. Why is it called Pesach Sheni Pischa Zeira? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is because typically there were very few people that brought Pesach Sheni. Because if most of Klai Yisrael is Tamei, so they bring the current Pesach Rishon. It's only if you have a few people that are Tamei that you bring the current Pesach on Pesach Sheni. Furthermore, Pesach, that's a quantity issue. The quality of the current Pesach and Pesach Sheni is less than the Pesach Rishon. Because the halacha is a Pesach Rishon, you say Halal and you have all the other halachas. It's an 8-day Yontif. Pesach Sheni is a 1-day Yontif and you don't have to say Halal. So Pesach Zira, it says there on Pesach Sheni, the Lola Mispet, that you don't say a Hespet. Haraba seems to say that Er Pesach, the regular Pesach, when the current Pesach is brought, Lamispet, you can't say a Hespet. El Kodakain. What does it mean? It's a Koshkein, a Kavachomer. If on Pesach Sheni you don't say a Hespet, certainly on Pesach Rishon. Hochinami, he says to him, how could you say that Eva Menachai is Matama, and Eva Menemes is not? Amalei Kach Shemati. This is what I heard. So just to speak for a moment here, it says in Megillas Tainus that you don't say a hesped or fast on Pesach Sheni. But we know that the Gemara says, I think it's the Gemara Masechta Megillah, that Megillas Tainus became bottle. We don't have that book. So the Shaila Meshev asks an interesting question. That means all the days, and the Gemara in a number of places quotes different dates from Megillas Tainus, those halachas don't apply. So why would be the halacha b'zman hazeh on Pesach Sheni? Can you say a hesped or not? If Megillas Tainus is no longer in place. So the Shaila Meshev paskens that even though Megillas Tainus is no longer in place, that's true. And we don't consider all of those dates listed in Megillas Tainus as Yom Tovim. But Pesach Sheni is a Yontov without Megillas Tainus because it's Pesach Sheni. And therefore a Hesped shouldn't be said. There's also an interesting question that the Achronim pose. We know that there are people, the Shulchan Aruch discusses this, the fast Behab after Pesach and after Sukkot. So the question is, what happens if Pesach Sheni, Behab is on Pesach Sheni? Do you fast or not? It seems that almost the Masham discusses it, other Paiskim discuss it, and it seems that most Paiskim are of the opinion, all the Paiskim that I saw, that you don't fast Behab on Pesach Sheni. The only Machloikas that I found is, do you have to make up the day that you didn't fast? Ask the Gemara, or my ikabet Eva Menachai, Eva Menemes, what is the practical nafkamina? Kazai is bosom, says the Gemara of Etzik Vesoyer HaPirish Menachai Ikabinayu. If you have just a piece of meat or just a small bone that come off of Eva Menachai, will it be Metama? The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Idyos, Kazayis Basar HaPirish Menachai. If you have a Kazayis Basar that comes off Eva Menachai, Rabbi Lezer Metama, Rabbi Nechonim Ben Akonah Rabbi Shu Metarim. Similarly, Etzim Kasoira, if you just have a small piece of bone, HaPirish Menachai, Rabbi Nechonim Metama, Rabbi Lezer Rishu Metarim. And Rashi explains that what is the basis for these explanations? Because we find, in our parak we actually found, that there's sometimes the basar is not matama, only you need everything else. We spoke about it yesterday by Eva Menachai. And the same thing, etzim is not matama, we spoke about the koyus. Says the Gemara, hash the dosis lahachi. Now that we've come to quote this Mishnah Masechta Odyas, ben tanakam of Shimon nami kazayis basar, betzim sari kabinayu. According to Shimon, they will not be matama by Eva Menachai, and according to the Rameya, they will be matama. The question is, what is the halacha on Eva Menachai? Is it Metama? Because the question is, we know that Eva Menemes requires Kvura. What is the halacha on Eva Menachai? Is Kvura required? There are Paiskim, the Noida Behuda suggest, that there's no Chiv Kvura. Other Paiskim say there is a Chiv Kvura. Ramosha has a very interesting approach. Ramosha says there are two reasons for Kvura. One is because Kapora, and one is because it shouldn't be put in Bezayim. So he says the reason for kapara doesn't apply. The person is still alive. Only when the person dies is the kvura bring him kapara. However, he says Bezayim is a factor. And therefore, he says, you have to bury Eved Min HaChai. However, Ramesh goes on to say, if the whole issue is a Bezayim that shouldn't be just left around, you don't necessarily have to bury it. You could burn it as well, even though normally cremation of a mace, of course we know is usur. Here it's not a mace, it's a chai. And it's only being put away because it shouldn't be left in Bezayim. So burning it could accomplish the same. And the Paiskim, in fact, discuss maybe using it for experimental medicine, experimental, even though we, of course, hold you can't use an Eved Min HaMeis for that, but Eved Min HaChai, where the entire concern is only Bezayim, this is not a Bezayim that it should be used for research, and maybe it would be Mutter. Hanu L'Chavar V'Raytav, Hanu L'Chavar V'Raytav, Hanu L'Chavar V'Raytav.